Afternoon Truth Wins team, good to be back with you in the wonderful year of 2025. Words never stop.
Words never stop.
Oh, wonder what that means.
Words are forever. When we speak them, they never cease to exist.
Well, so we'll begin with prayer and then we're off to our lesson.
Dear Holy Father, we thank you, Father, for this day is the day the Lord hath made, and it is good. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, that you are a part of this production today, and we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us, because we are becoming more cognizant of the truth that is in the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit guiding us in everything we do. We ask this now in the name above all names, the name of Jesus, the name above all names, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, as you know, we've been teaching on SQ, like your spiritual SQ, quotient.
Spiritual quotient.
And it really is what I was thinking of is the quantum really tells us that everything in the world was made with a sound wave. So let's go and see how we know that.
It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right, so we see the foundation of the universe is the Word.
The Word of God.
Right, and so as he said at the beginning, when we speak, it's kind of interesting. God said what the people need to know is the power of the Word. Like, what is it about the Word? Why is that really Jesus's doctrine that he taught, his primary parable was about the Word. Why is the Word so important?
And
it was interesting when I went to walk with Miss Hollywood. I always put on some gospel music because I like to pray as I walk and listen to gospel music. And the man came on, he was doing a concert, and he said, what's so important is the Word. It's
the Word
odd
of God
to hear that, like God
never,
saying
never cease to exist. The vibrations of the truth that we speak out of our mouth never cease to exist. It's always there forever.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we speak the Word of God in our lives and around us so that the Word of God will manifest in our lives.
Right. So as we know, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So his word is forever, so it doesn't cease. The Bible tells us it doesn't cease. But what else can we learn about the word? Because how are we going to use the word? How does it operate? So let's see what else we can learn.
It says in Hebrews 1:3, who, Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word, God, of his power. And in the Strong's Concordance, the meaning of power is power, mighty work, strength, miracle, might, virtue, moral excellence, and righteousness and goodness.
Right, so here we're seeing kind of, it's always a that's really what came to my mind about the lesson. It's the word of his power. So Jesus is the word, but what's important is what is the power? And what is the power when we pray? Because we kind of see Jesus could only heal a few people in his own hometown because of their unbelief. Really the lack of power to connect to the word that says, you're healed. There wasn't the power connected.
He commanded it.
They seem to have lost the power, because the power is for miracles. Because we see Jesus, when he first came into the ministry was the creating of the wine at the wedding. And it was a miracle. It was something.
Well, he was making something out of order into order.
Right, because his mother said to the people, do as he tells you. So doing according to the word with the power of Jesus with it. But we know, just so we don't get confused, at the end of Mark, he said he's given the power to us, the same power he has, have with our words.
Right, all power in heaven and earth, he says in the last chapter of Matthew. He was raised from the grave, and he was said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth and under the earth.
Right, so we see, it says be careful of every idle word, because words are put out, and if you say them enough, what happens is you suddenly, we know with neuroplasticity, the first time you hear it, it almost like that we kind of gave the path. We're showing there's a grassy field and no one's walked across it. And the first time you walk through, there's a slight path, but it's the path that your brain is connecting to. That's the path. That's the path. I see that path. That's the path. And then as you say those words, more and more the path in your because of neuroplasticity becomes stronger and stronger
until it becomes a habit.
But what happens really that's crucial is you go from unbelieving the words you're saying, or maybe hoping or whatever, to the fact that finally you believe it, because
believe
the words are never
gone. You become the spiritual force of believing, faith.
Right. And so it's kind of like there is gravity. Gravity's always there. Then the law of lift supersedes gravity, and you can see, then you can fly. So
yeah,
we know that the great part of God is so merciful that even if we say the words wrong, it's kind of like epigenetics adding on. It doesn't change the word that you said, but it adds a new force that can supersede the wrong. So as we saw with, Peter,
He denied Christ three times.
Right, and then Jesus asked him, do you love me, to bring him back to the right spot.
Yeah, he was superseding those statements that were forever.
Right.
Because Peter's, what he said was a lie forever.
Right, but at that point, I don't know that he really, that's what I'm trying to show. Sometimes with the word, he may have said it in fear to the maid, I don't know that man. But I don't know that there was really enough power that he hit the point where he didn't know him, because he didn't really have the power connected, because we're talking about the miraculous power. And the power doesn't require you to be present, because we see the second miracle that Jesus did is when the rich ruler came and said, come pray for my son. And Jesus said to him, except you see a miracle, you won't believe. So he's trying to get the man not to have faith in things he's seen, but have faith in words, the word of his power. Jesus says to him, as you believe, it'll be unto
you.
The interesting part was Jesus, a lot of people say, well, Jesus, if he was just here now, I could have it work. But Jesus wasn't with the young boy or the lad or whoever,
right,
his son.
And his father asked the attendants when he got home, when did he start to amend? And he said the third hour, whatever the hour was. And that was exactly when Jesus said the words.
Right. As you believe, so it will be to you.
Well, he said, your son is
well,
or something like
that. And as you believe, which is the power.
Right.
Because you have to have the power with, Jesus said, as your son is well, but it required the rich man to accept
agree.
That power.
And he didn't say any more, and he walked away. He went back home. It took him a day and a half or whatever it was, more than a day, to get home. So when he got there, he asked those questions, and he's even more powerful that he went against his flesh and said, okay, I believe what Jesus said.
Right, and connected his power.
Yeah, so if a doctor says something that goes against the word of God, you can receive it or you can reject it.
Right, give it power. So what we're going to go to is the doctrine of Jesus, which is his parable. He says it's his doctrine. The sower sows the word, and we're going to kind of analyze it, because this year our words are going to be more important as we receive a double time of grace and glory from God.
Right on.
Then we need to be careful of our words. We need to make sure we're using the correct power
and receive
connecting the with
correct
the right words.
Right.
So let's see what Jesus says.
Jesus said in Mark 4:14-15. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. Notice that. He comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Right, and we can see that happens for all different kinds of reasons. Like you're saying, God's going to take care of all my needs, and you drive home from church and suddenly you see your plumbing's leaking. And
right.
And instead of saying, God's still going to take care of it, give me a quick way to fix it, do it all, it's all going to work
out. Cast my care upon the Lord.
And then it gets taken care of.
Right, but the thing is that you heard the word and the devil's coming to try to steal it from you.
Right.
Through physical things, through other people, through ideas or thoughts that he puts in your mind. Because you can reject what he says in your mind if you are cognizant of the word and say, no, get behind me, Satan, as Jesus said.
Right, and you can always, like, say your bill's due and you have to pay it tomorrow, and you could go online and just pay it, but you don't have the money, but God's saying he supplies all your needs. Well, if your power and your faith have been built up, and
it's not mental ascent, it's right, spiritual ascent.
Then it will come, and you cast the care upon him, so you don't have to keep praying, you don't have to keep fasting, you just stand. When you've done all, stand. Watch God move and do what he says. So, but we know who the thief is. The thief is Satan.
Will
try to give you any way to get off that anything can be.
Yeah, he'll bring anything, ideas from other people, in your own ideas, all that. He comes against, he steals your word out of your heart.
Right, and it's not like we won't go through a journey. It doesn't mean there won't be tests and things that happen,
or
and
obstacles.
Challenges, obstacles. But we know, yea, though I walk through the valley,
I fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Right, and so
God's always with you through it. You just got to be cognizant of that.
Right, and then you see it happen. So we see the first person or the first group of people, because we're talking about the word. You're hearing God's word in the Bible. And the first group of people, Satan comes in any way he can to steal it. So that group of people. And first of all, I found it, because I kind of think I did before the mathematical part. So we see right there, 25% of the people that heard the word, which if we think about it, like we've told you before, we heard percentage-wise 10% of the people in the town even attend church to hear the word. So we're not even talking a lot. You wonder why things are so how they are. We need more people hearing the word, and then we need people to know that are in this group how to battle it. No, I'm not going to get concerned by what Satan's trying to steal. I'm sticking with the word. So 25% of the people are
25 of 10%.
Yeah, 25 of 10% are whoop, gone. So now let's see what happens to the next group.
It says in Mark 4:16-17, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when the tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble.
Right, and this can happen quite easily, because as we see, 90% of the people aren't even going to church and probably standing on the word. So if you go out and claim any of God's word, salvation, whatever, someone will come up to you and say, like, have the sticker on their car that says, let's all coexist, have everything, everything's right. You can find it anywhere. You find it your way. And you're saying, no, Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
And because people are coming against you, instead of standing firmer and knowing that you're born again, saved, you kind of just crumble under the pressure and you stop keeping the word and having the power to use it.
Yeah, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Well, and I realize social pressure is hard, but it probably also says in the Bible, don't cast pearls before swine. So you don't have to go be confrontational with people. You just have to stand in your faith.
Yeah, just don't even comment to them. If they come up with bad report, God's report supersedes. It's the law lift in this situation.
Well, really, they're denying whatever. If you say God supplies my needs, they'll go, oh, well, one time, remember when you and then try to get you off. So that's right at this point, we're hearing that 50% of the people who've heard the word aren't getting a return in their word because Satan has come to take them off track.
So 5%, half of them.
No, 50%. 5%
of the 10%.
No, 50%.
50% of 10% is 5%.
Oh, 5% are left.
Are left. Right. And those that don't believe.
Right, so let's see.
Or they're not operating in the word correctly.
Right, so the word is not producing a harvest for them that they're requiring or wanting.
Right.
So let's see what happens to the next group of 25%.
Says Mark 4:18-19. Now these are the ones who sow among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Right, so we know with, like, the Kardashians are showing, oh, look at us, we're wealthy, we're happy, we're whatever, and so people are drawn away to wanting to be like that.
The scripture says that the wealth of the riches comes with sorrow.
Right.
So there's all kinds of stuff you may not know, but they got sorrow hanging all over them.
Right. They're not going to get up on, if they got on TV and said, oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm getting divorced. Oh, my husband's out having an affair with everybody. You wouldn't want to be one of them.
Yeah.
So they're selling you on, this is so much fun. If you just party and you go to concerts and you do all this stuff and you're thinking, oh, wow. It always reminds me of the, I was thinking of the lawyer who died and went up to be at Heaven's Gate and Satan was there and God was there and they go, well, wow, you're just sort of one of those people, we don't know where you should be. And
yeah, they were in the clouds or something.
So they say, okay, we're going to let you choose if you go to heaven or hell. And so they ask, where do you want to go first? And he says, well, I want to go to heaven. And he goes to heaven and he sees angels playing harps and it looks really peaceful, but nothing's really action. Yeah, and so then the next day he rides the elevator down and he's in hell and he walks out and
there's a big party happening.
Right, and there's beautiful women and it's like fun.
Oh, big deal.
He's going, wow, this looks like it's going to be way better than heaven.
Yeah,
We like the party and all the money and all the food and all the gambling.
You know, the abundance.
Any lustful thing you could want is right there in front of you. You're thinking, wow, this is the place I want to be. So he goes ahead and says, I choose hell. And so the next day when he's meeting with God and Satan, and so he chooses hell. And so they go get in the elevator and he rides down the elevator to hell and the door opens and it's fire and brimstone. And he goes, well, where's the party? Where's all the things that I desired, that I lusted after? Where's all the beautiful women and the everything? And he goes, oh, well, I was campaigning yesterday. You voted. This is what you got.
That's what you got.
And that's what the devil does when he gets you off with the deceitfulness of riches. If it's not given to you by God, it's not the right path. It's not going to be what you think.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get all the things. So basically that group of people that are seeking after worldly things aren't getting the word of God. So there goes another 25%.
Right. So 75% and 10%.
Right. So people are wondering kind of why isn't it working? Well, the word always works. just you're not
operating it.
Well, you are operating it, but you're operating it
in a negative manner.
You're not operating
the way you don't want it to be.
The correct way. So let's see what the next verse says.
It says in Mark 4:20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, or 60, and some 100, which was fold.
Right, it's the fold, and so they accept the word. So that's really
It's not a percentage, it's fold.
Right, but I think the important part there is you accept the word. The group, the 75...
it's in your heart.
The 75% above kind of got the word, but they didn't really accept it and make it permanent in their life and connect the power with it to... Because it's the word of his power. So the word is there, and it's the wave that's happening. And then that's kind of the God particle, the power that like connects. Like when we do the quantum, we kind of showed the example before where you put in sickness, poverty, whatever. You're putting in things that are really not things you want in the world. Whatever your issue is, you're putting it in to the quantum, and you're adding the God particle, which is the word of his power. And when it comes in, what comes out, that's why it's usually like, if you put in sickness, you'll end up with sickness. But when you add the God particle, the word of his power, what you put in, you end up having all the things that happened on the cross. You have health, you have wealth, you have peace, you have all the things that God offers you. And it's 100-fold, as we know, because we've been teaching you on Jesus's miracles. When he had the one fish dinner, he fed, we've heard, up to 20,000 people with one fish dinner. That's definitely a fold relation, because it's
right.
not times.
It's not a percentage.
It's not
like times, so like in multiplication. It was a multiplication beyond multiplication in the spirit realm. It's a fold.
It's a fold. And so I know a lot of times I've heard, really, you're sowing the word. You can give an offering in church, but the offering is not really the word. So you give it, like the little boy gave the fish dinner, and then Jesus prayed over the thing, and the word of his power changed it into a meal with leftovers.
A scripture I wanted that came to me just now is that David, the prophet David, the king of Israel, said that I've never saw the righteous going hungry, begging for bread. So he was prophesying that for the people that operate correctly in the word of God are not begging, because they have abundance. God has abundance to give us. We are operating in the kingdom of God, and they're not begging for bread because they have abundance.
What I would suggest you do is, well, we have some books on our webpage, truthwins.com, that will tell you it. But I've been reading a book called The God of Tech, which is a good book. Speaking Like God Speaks. I don't know that
right.
that was exactly the name of the book. But read some of these books that'll give you testimonies of how people did it. Like they
God
asked
did
God,
it through them.
They did it. They believed the word. They heard the word. And they connected it to what their thing was. And then they have a fold from it. And the fold could be 30, 60, or 100-fold. Depending on the power you put with the word is able to do whatever it says. It says, God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if I connect correctly to the word with the power, believe it, then it will be 100-fold.
And God told me the other day, I said, well, you know, I'm still in a learning curve here.
We all are growing day by day.
And he said, you know, really the way you get it, you get there, is don't let the word of God depart before your eyes. You do it all the time. You do it all the time. That's Proverbs 4:20, isn't it? 4:20, 22. And Joshua 1:8. says, don't let the word of God depart before your eyes, for it is life and is health and healing to all your flesh.
Right. So when, so we're trying to let you know for 2025 is when Satan comes immediately when you've heard the word, you say no, kind of like Jesus did when he was tempted. He said to Jesus, turn the stones into food. And he said, no. And he quoted the word back. And he said, jump off. And he said, no. And he quoted the word back. So we have to say the same thing.
Yeah,
no.
We have to, the word,
and
it
quote
says,
the word back. The word of his power.
We counteract it with the word of God. That's why you need to know, let it be in your heart all the time. And he also, when Peter prophesied that he was the Messiah, and then he said, no, no, no. He was rebutting Jesus when what he said was going to do. And Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. So you say, Satan, get behind me.
Right. So we that's what we're going to do. We're this year, we know Jesus is the word. We know with the quantum, the word is how things are changed. And we also realize that that's why you have to hear and hear until it becomes really part of you, because
yeah, it comes
there's
from your
too
soul
many things,
to your spirit.
Well, there's too many things in society that, that when it's done by Satan to have, when you see a little dog, you go, oh, that's a big dog. And it's not a big dog.
Yeah,
it's a little dog.
The opposite.
And so then it's making your power confused, because how are you really going to believe it's a big dog when it's a little dog? And so what we want to do is get the word in us and believe it and use its power and not be confronted with, for example, we knew someone who had a disease and they got the word. We gave them healing scriptures. They decided to go to the doctor. They were going to do chemo anyway, and they did, and the doctor was saying, it's amazing, you're doing so well, I haven't seen anybody like this. And then they came, they were going for a while, it's I guess a process, and then they came back and the doctor said, oh, it doesn't, it looks like things are changing. And instead of going, no, standing on the word, going,
standing on the word,
Satan's coming to steal their
life.
Yeah,
he's coming to steal us because he's trying to change the outcome.
Right. Instead of
he's
doing
putting pressure
that,
on your flesh.
They switched and then they listened and then they go, well, maybe we need to do this. They have like something where they were testing a new something or other to help you get, and you could go down
to
UCLA.
To do the fleshy way.
UCLA. And so instead of saying, no, I know it's working, I'm sticking my course.
Whose report do you believe? You believe the devil? Or you believe Jesus?
Well, so they went down to UCLA, and the long and short is they died. And
they died.
So they...
We find that several times. We've
seen
that.
We found it many times, but the word, you have to stand on it, even when your body's yelling different. And
when it's right to the edge, you're...
right there.
The doctors will say, well, you only have a week to live. I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to what the word says.
Right, and you will see many. One of the things I'm listening to a new book. It's about the tipping point, but it's like the revenge of the tipping point, social engineering, and it's talking about how you're convinced by social media and social things
so readily
to go off.
Dump Jesus. Jesus said it.
Oh, but what I was going to say about it is they were talking about a school where the people didn't really want to be vaccinated. Like, pretty much they forced people to be vaccinated whether we want it, which I don't know why in America you shouldn't have your choice. But there's a school where they don't, it's a private school, and the percentage of people vaccinated is very low. And so someone got sick, so they're going, oh, see, everybody gets sick. Well, I know during the pandemic, they told us that if you took the COVID vaccine, that would keep you from getting sick. Well, then they...
Then I find that everybody that took the vaccine are getting sick all the time.
Right, but then they go, oh, no, 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 they changed the saying.
Well, you'd be less harsh.
Right, but probably less harsh is if you don't get it at all. But
yeah, in fact...
So that's all you're going to say. That's it. But I'm saying they always put out, you really have to evaluate it. There will be cases where people try to pray and it fails for them because they don't know what they're doing. But there's also people who go the world way that fail, but they seem to not want to ever point out that that fails too. But the people who get on the right path, because God's path is good,
God will, is forever.
Will succeed. And it may be a journey, because we see it in the Bible. Like, obviously, Joseph with the most coat of many colors had a big journey. Yeah. Noah had a big journey building an ark. There was lots of journeys.
And also, Moses had a big journey.
Moses had a journey, and Joshua and Caleb and had a journey.
They were fleshy just like us.
Well,
one thing we have that they didn't have, we're born again. They were in the future of the born again. But we are in the past, became born again, if you're born again. Let's say it that way.
So Jesus lives in you. That's
yeah, what and you doing. Have a you have a supercharge. And if you speak in tongues, you got a super supercharge.
Right.
Because you have a bit higher relationship with God when you're overflowing with the Holy Spirit.
Right. So this year we're telling you, watch your words, which we've probably told you every year. Say the right word. If you don't have, do like Thumper the Rabbit's mommy, or was it his daddy?
Daddy said.
If you don't have anything nice to say,
don't say anything at all.
So better to be silent, but better to be saying the right thing.
Yeah.
But if not, be silent. Instead of...
As Moses called those things... It was Abraham. Call those things that be not as though they were.
Right.
He called the truth into existence.
Right.
By the quantum.
Right. So we don't want to do like in James where... We say good things one day and we say bad things.
Yeah,
so
and
then
the rudders back and forth, back and
right,
forth.
Right, you go nowhere.
He said you won't get anything.
Right, you won't get anywhere. So we're going to say
you
the word.
You got to be, you know, your nose to the grindstone, as they say. You're going to stick to that hell or high water.
Right, and we're gonna go back to the beginning, which is the part that God was trying to, the word, but it's, he did it all by the word of his power. So there's the word, and then there's the power that Jesus has, and he's given it to you. He's given it to you. So you have the word, and you have the power, and you connect them. It's like for your electricity. It's all there, and you flip the switch, and then you have a light. So you flip the switch, and then... I think I'm going to go back up here. I like...
And Galatians, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And also Philippians 4:19, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
But what I like, whoops, that's not the one, maybe here. I like this one. I like the one where it talks about power. The power you have power to do a mighty work. You have strength. You have miracle power. You have might. You have virtue. So all the power that you're doing from the word of his power is righteousness and goodness. So that's what I want you to concentrate on. That's the power you have when you connect with the word. So this year is the year of the double, because I had my double swimming pools, my dream.
Double
anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so we're going to use our words appropriately and correctly. And we know in the quantum, that's what changes things. So we'll say and subscribe.
Truth wins.
We'll see you next week with another powerful word, and you'll just keep growing and growing and growing and growing.